It's actually recording on both. Exciting. Okay, so I had looked at the first one, but I'm going to look at it again. This is a way that I can access two tables without having to do the join or the where clause to join them together. And so this just allows me to grab some information from one table and then use it with another table. So in this case, I'm saying grab the drive number. And again, the inner select is done first. And I did everything right except for turning that camera on. We'll find out if I actually did everything right. But anyway. So I'm saying select drive number from drive where drive name equals animal home. So it is going to go to the drive file, pull out the drive number that matches with animal home. Okay, so now it's got the drive number. Then it's going to come back and say, okay, now show me everything from donation where the drive number matches that one that I just retrieved. Okay, where the drive number is in, and in allows there to be multiple things returned. Okay, I could have said where drive number equal, but that would have only worked if one thing was returned. Well, only one thing gets returned on this, so in fact that would be fine. But in is more flexible. So it allows me to say the drive number has to be in the drive numbers plural that could have come back. So that gives me a little more flexibility. If I'm not positive that there's only one thing that's going to come back, it buys me a little flexibility. Okay. And as far as I can see, there's no real upside of doing the equal. And so I tend to use the in a lot just because it's more flexible.
Is there a difference between when you're looking for a range of characters? Is there a preference when searching for a range of characters as opposed to a range of numbers?
No. It wouldn't matter. The key thing is that this select has to return the same thing that I'm looking for in the where clause. It has to be the same field. If those aren't the same field, then it can't do it. Okay? I can't say, give me the, what's in drive? I can't say, give me the drive chair, select drive chair from drive, where drive name equals animal home. It could do that just fine. But then when I said where drive number's in and it would be trying to match to drive chair, that's not going to work. So those have to be the same fields. Okay? And I am only taking things from the donation table. If I want to take things from two tables, then the from clause has to have both tables listed, which means that I've got to do something in the where clause that does the matching and linking that we talked about last time. And as I told you last time, I do the matching and linking with a where clause just because I like it better. There is also a join clause that people use to do that, and you can take a look at that. I find the join clause just more convoluted to understand, to read, whereas the where clause is very straightforward. So my preference is the where clause. I can do that without thinking, where at the join I have to actually think about the syntax and the context and what they're actually saying, and I don't do that if I can avoid it. And I just illustrated down here the fact that when I executed the inner, it returned 200, and I could have said select asterisks for donation with drive 200 and done it in two separate statements, but that would have made me have to do it in two separate statements, and lots of times I would like to do something in one. Okay, this is another one where, actually, I should probably take a picture of that. Okay, this is another one where I have an inner select, and I'm saying select this stuff from donor, where year goal is greater than, and now I'm doing an inner select. So it does the inner select first, and it comes back with the year goal from donor, where name is like Ash. Okay, so it goes in and finds the year goal where the name is like Ash. And then it says, now select the ID, number, name, year, goal, contact from donor where the year goal is greater than the one you selected. Well, I showed you down here that when I ran the inner one all by itself, it came back with 50. When I said select year goal from donor where name like Ash, it came back with 50. So now I am getting all of the year goals that are greater than 50. That's basically what I'm telling it to do. So the inner select went and returned 50. And as I said, I did it below so that you could see that. So the inner select returned 50, and now I am looking for everybody that's greater than 50.
What's the length
on it? It basically finds things that have ash in it. So, like Ash means like Ash would be the last three characters anything can come before.
Now, if you didn't care where like the Ash came, the front or the back,
then I'd put the percent sign on both the front and the back of it. So if I thought Ash could be part of the first name or the middle name or something like that, I'd just put in the percent signs on both sides.
Where's the chart above it, or the table above it, where's 50?
It isn't, because I asked, this is the result of doing this entire thing, which is show me everything over 50. So it's not going to show up.
There is an ash.
And let's see if I've got the whole table here anyplace.
Ash, Susan Ash.
Yeah, there's Susan Ash down there with 50. Okay, so here's a whole table that has Susan Ash, and she's got the 50 for year goal. And so the ones that you're seeing up above are everybody that had more than 50, which basically means you're not seeing Carl and you're not seeing Susan because everybody else is higher than 50.
Alfred and Susan Ashley show the same thing?
Only if I put the parenthesis on the after side as well as the front side.
I have to put the percent sign
here as well as there, and that says embedded ash as opposed to ash at either end. If I put ash in just 1%, then it's going to look for ash as the 3. If I put ash at the end, it's going to look for ash as the last 3. Okay? So what I was basically saying here is I didn't care what the first name was. And if somebody happens to have a name that I can't think of that would start with something else and then end with Ash.
So if you put it on the end, it would find.
Say that again?
If you just put it on the end, it wouldn't show Ashley.
It would show, if I just put it on the end, it would show Ashley, yes.
And if you put it in the middle, it would show Ashley. If you put them on both ends, it would show Ashley.
Mm-hmm. Because then you're saying characters, we don't care how many before and after. So the most flexible thing is the percent sign on either end, because that means anywhere in the field, basically.
Question.
Huh? More?
I said more gibberish. I said question marks.
No, not gibberish. Okay, and I can then say, okay, come in here to the inner, get me the average year goal from donor, and not find people where the year goal is greater than or equal to the average. So I want to know everybody that gave more than the average. Okay, so I'm getting the average, and then I'm saying, show me everybody that made either the, gave either the same or greater than the average. And again, when I do these, I ran the inner one first, or afterward, actually, and came up with the average so you can see what the average is and see that, in fact, it worked. And here I'm using the in. I said select the ID from the donation where the contribution amount is greater than 200. Okay. And then I said show me the name and the year goal where the ID is in the group that was selected. And so basically all I'm trying to show you here is you can throw around this inner to come back with something like the average, and then you can use that. Okay, so in this one I'm saying I want a group, and this gives me a chance to go back and look at group. I'm saying show me the state and the contact and the sum of the year goal from donor having a sum of year goal greater than, and then I'm selecting average year goal from donor. Okay, what is this one doing? What's it doing first?
It's going to do the inner select first, right?
That's right. So the first thing it's going to do is come back with the average. That's the first thing that it's going to do. Then what is it doing on the top?
It's going to display the ones that have a sum greater than the average.
The ones, what it define ones?
The records.
No, it's because I've got the group by clause. So once I've thrown the group by clause in there, it's not going to give me individual records unless a group actually only has one record in it. It's going to give me groups. Okay, because I said, all right, forgetting this bottom part at the beginning, let's just forget that inner part. That's got the average, but forget that. It's now going to the outer part and saying, okay, you want me to group by state and by contact person within state. Okay, so I'm grouping by state and contact person within the state. Now the I'm grouping by state and contact person. So that means in the select, I can use the fields that I'm grouping on because it is forming groups by state and groups by contact. So since it is grouping by these things, I can show those things. If I said show ID, it would be out of context. It would give me, there might be five people in the group, it would give me the ID of one of them, which has no meaning whatsoever, because there's four others it's not giving me. So it's worthless information. In fact, it's worse than worthless information. It's deceptive information.
So this contact has X amount of people in Massachusetts that are giving more than $800.
Yeah. More than $768.18 and on. Huh?
She's doing better in Rhode Island than she's doing in Massachusetts.
Apparently.
So we got to take her off Massachusetts.
And put her into Rhode Island. She's got more connections in Rhode Island. Okay. So I'm saying group by state and then by contact within the state. And that might have formed five groups. I don't know how many groups it formed, but let's say it formed five groups. we're only going to see the groups where the sum of the year goal is greater than the average year goal. Okay, so once it's formed the groups, the having clause takes away some groups, possibly. Okay, the having clause gets rid of some groups, possibly. If I want to get rid of people or if I want to get rid of records prior to forming the group, how do I do it?
Put it above it. Above group.
Yeah, but what do I put above?
Having.
No, can't have having. I use where. I have to use where there and having down below. So if I want to get rid of people as I'm forming the groups, I put in a where clause there. If I want to get rid of records as I'm forming the groups, I put a where clause in. So I say from donor, where, whatever, group by. And that will eliminate records from being included in the groups. Once the groups have been formed, the having can be used to say, I only want to see certain groups. And in this case, the certain groups I want to see are ones that have a sum of year goal greater than the average year goal. Which is probably worthless information, but it got me some results, and that's basically what I was playing with. Hardest part of this is coming up with examples given the data we have. Okay, so what is this one going to do? As I said before, SQL proudly announces that it has a limited number of commands, and you only have to learn, you know, what is it, 10, 15, 20, I don't know what it is, commands, and you have SQL under control. What they forget to mention is how many clauses there are on the select statement. Okay? And you can go for weeks learning clauses on the select statement. So, it's deceptive advertising at best.
They were.
So we have a 3-tier select statement?
Yeah. Okay, so what's going to be done first here?
The last one?
Well, it actually probably doesn't make any difference. I think it actually takes the middle one.
Takes the middle one.
But it probably doesn't make any difference because it's going to have two components that it's going to be working in when it does the other one. So it really doesn't much matter which one it does here. It's saying select date first from donor where year goal greater than 100. Okay? And then it's got another down here that says select state from donor where city equals Canton. Okay, so it is coming back with those two pieces of information. And then it's saying, give me the name, city, state, year, goal, contact, date first from donor, where date first is in the group that I selected, and state is in the group I selected. So I'm selecting from here, and now I'm saying I want to see everybody that is in where the date first matches that first select, and the state is equal to whatever I come up with on the second one. Now, that one would have been a problem because I used equal if there were more than one state that had Canton. So in that case, I would have used the in if there was more than one state that had Canton. But I happened to know my data, and I happened to know there wasn't. So I got away with it. But if I wasn't sure of that kind of thing, then I should have used an in there instead of an equal. Okay, because equal is looking for one thing, and in is looking for multiple. Yeah?
So can year to goal is 50, it will show.
Where the date is in... Where? Select date first. I'm looking for a match to date. I'm looking here in the where clause where a date is a particular thing and a state is a particular thing. So that's what I'm ending up with.
Well, I'm talking about the city.
You have to match both conditions.
That's right. The date has to be the date that came out of the first InnoSelect, and the state has to be the state that came out of the second InnoSelect.
Because it's an and.
Yes. Yes.
So you're to go for Lynn,
if it was 50,
it would show.
No.
No, you got to... Okay. You gotta resolve this and come up with the answer, which I did down here. I got a bunch of date firsts.
We're not solving for that. Right.
But I didn't actually do the where gold greater than 1,100. I may have. And then I said, okay, now I did this one. So it's going to do that, and that returns a date. It's gonna do the last select, and that returns a state. And so the WHERE clause says where the date is in the dates that came back in that first one, and the state is equal to the state that came back from that second one.
It's going to be two.
Well, it gives you two, but then it condenses
two
down.
Tables.
Because it's similar to like dealing with order of operation math. Like, it basically, you end up with the parentheses, you process first from the data group that it's asking for on the top. And each one of them has a little data group that it's calling from it. And then when it condenses down, then it moves on to the next thing until it has those sets, and then it does the overall and puts them all together.
That's
easy. So it's like it processes both
so the
parentheses, and then it looks at the overall of what you're asking, and then it processes that down. So at no point does it give you the result of either parentheses.
Right. You don't actually get a result until you've combined it.
Right. And this one is returning, the date, and this one's returning the state. And so I said, do this where the date is in the group that gets returned from there, and the state is equal to the one state that comes back from here. If multiple states could have come back from there, as I said, I should have used in again.
Right, if you get a malfunction, I think what you're advocating as a best practice is run your selects independently to make sure they run independently if you can't run them combined.
Absolutely. I mean, if I want to make sure that I'm getting what I do, I look at what's going to happen and check out my inner ones, and then I put them together. Okay. And if I don't get the results I thought I was going to get, then I definitely go back and try them individually and see what I'm going to get. But this one, this inner select is going to come back with a group of dates, presumably. Might only come back with one. Actually, might come back with none, if nobody met the criteria.
Yeah, if none of them were higher than 100.
Then it's not going to have any.
Right.
And then if no city was Canton, that would come back with none. But as again, I know my data, so therefore... I picked something that was going to work.
So we're not exactly sure what sequence the two inner selects are being done within, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because I've got to have those two things returned. And then I say, where date first matches that and state matches that.
Yeah.
Is basically what I'm saying. Okay, so where date first is in, and you have done the first homework, hopefully, you know that you could have put parentheses here and listed a bunch of date firsts. And it would have said, we're date first in this group and state equal MA. So I could have written that the same way, knowing my, you know, by going in and looking at my data. But that takes more work on my part because then I have to check the data and find out all the dates that I like to put in the in clause and all that good stuff. Whereas now I'm making the computer do the work. And when I can make the computer do the work as opposed to me, that's a good thing.
I think the only time that it's going to matter for us in here, what order to actually process this, is if you have a and or structure. And it depends as to where you nest things in order for them to be processed.
I guess. You never know what I'm going to ask. This can can then be changed to an oval, which is basically what he was saying there. And then you have a situation where you have this or this, and if you want to, you can add in another select and keep going and say this and this and this, or this or this or this, or this and this or this, and you can mix and match as much as your heart desires. Okay?
I still don't understand the Canton
part. I'm saying the state from donor where city equals Canton.
So it comes.
So it shows.
It's pulling.
So it's showing the one city, right? There's one.
No, it's showing the state, because what did I say on the select? I said select state. So that's what's coming back is state.
So the second. Exactly where is it showing?
Exactly where is it showing?
The table? Is it the table where it's on that state? Last one at the bottom.
Okay, this is just looking at that inner select.
Okay.
Select state from donor where city equals can.
That's a separate.
And that is just a separate one to show you that it was coming back with MA. So that one would have come back with MA.
Okay.
And so the AND clause gets resolved to state equals MA. That's how it gets resolved.
But if you didn't put Canton in at all, would you get the same data?
No, because there's some Rhode Island ones as well in the original table. Okay? This result only has Massachusetts because of that clause. But my original data had Massachusetts and Rhode Island. Huh?
It's using Canton to select the state, not to select Canton.
Now I get it. Thank you.
No, agreed.
You didn't have the original table, so
that's right.
It's
the original table in the first example before all of this. It would have made 10 times more sense.
Okay. Point well taken.
Yeah, all I was doing was just saying, like, hey, I'm looking for a state that has Canton. And I goes, okay, well, Massachusetts has Canton, so we're going to use Massachusetts.
And then everything over 100.
You could just have Massachusetts.
And put the date first on this.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be nearly complicated enough.
Right.
Sometimes you won't know. Sometimes you won't
But then I can't show you this nifty structure.
Right. So 100 has run of course.
I can't show you the nifty structure if I do that. Okay. And this one, I think I actually showed you part of the table. This one will get you Rhode Island or your goal greater than 1,000. So I'm getting one or the other. I'm either getting the contact from donor where state equals Rhode Island, or contact in. So I'm looking for a contact that meets one of two criteria. The contact is in the select contact from state equals Rhode Island, so I'm looking for Rhode Island contacts. Or the contact is in, select the ones that had a year goal greater than 1,000. So that will get me either one of them.
Could you have appended the or after the where statement? Or did you have, you didn't really have to put that on a separate line, right? You just did that for the sake of.
Yeah, I could write this all on one line if I wanted to totally.
Confuse us, yeah.
Well, confuse me to start out with.
Right.
But I could have done that.
Yeah. Now, in and or are clauses as well? That's where and.
Well, in is a clause that goes with the where contact is in this group. And you, as I said, you did a simple one on a table where I think I said the city is in and you had to list a couple
yeah.
of cities that you wanted to get. So the in lets you do that. It's part of the where. But the and or have a different relationship because they're saying. The in is part of the condition where contact is in. So the in is part of the condition.
Okay.
Whereas the or is this condition or this condition and this condition. It's grouping the conditions, yeah.
I don't understand the results because we have like Susan Ash who lives in Massachusetts and her goal is less than 1,000.
Susan Ash, I thought, was both of them.
She's in both states, right?
She's in both states.
But it listed Fall River, Mass.
Or Ann Coster is actually both states, I think, not Susan. Say this again.
Susan Ash lives in Fall River, and her goal is Susan.
But I'm looking at contacts now. I'm not looking at people, I'm looking at contacts.
She has the same contact as a person where the goal is greater than a thousand.
I'm saying select the contact person, not the person. And the only contact people I have here are Susan Jones and Amy Costa. Those are the only two contacts that came out. So I'm looking at the contact. And there is the results. When I said select contact from donor where state equals Rhode Island, those are the two people I came up with. And when I said contact from donor where year goals greater than 1,000, it was only Amy, apparently. So, in fact, Amy won both ways. That was an or, but Amy happened to come up both ways.
So you define your objective in the first select, and then you use your inner selects to filter out
yeah.
the information that you want to present from the first select.
Right. The first one tells me what I want to see, and then the other two, as you said, filter out
yeah.
so that I only see ones that meet those specified criteria. Okay, and there I did a calculation, minimum year goal divided by 3, so you can do a calculation if you want to complicate your life a little bit more. And greater than any means it has to be greater than any of the ones. Okay, it has to be greater than any. All is another clause you can put in there, and that would have to be greater than all of them. So greater than any means just that, greater than any of them, and all means greater than all of them. So you can have clauses like in, any, all in there.
Professor, so when you define a group, it doesn't necessarily display the group, though. Like you go group by state in that command,
no.
but you don't actually depict the state itself.
No, I was just trying to get a group total by state, yeah.
I apologize if you already covered this, but how do you differentiate between use of asterisk or use of percent symbol in order to designate, you know, zero
range? Yeah.
Say that again.
How do you differentiate between the use of an asterisk or the use of percent symbol?
Well, asterisk means show me all the fields. That's all it means.
Right, but I mean, like,
you put the percent in when you're doing the. I want it contained within a string.
Okay.
You use the percent. And you can also use, as I recall, an underscore if you only want it for one character in a string. Underscore will get you one character in a string.
So the string special characters are...
Underscore and percent.
This.
Well, no, percent shows up a lot of times.
Mm.
But you're right, asterisk shows up sometimes too. And I wouldn't swear... that you wouldn't find a version of SQL that decided asterisk was the way to go.
So I would hope not, because then you'd have to specify if you wanted it to be multiplication.
No, because, well, depends on how you use. But right now, the string stuff is underscore and percent. And asterisk means show me all the fields. And you're right, an asterisk could be used in a calculation if I had a calculation in there, just like I have the divide.
So could you put Rhode Island on percent, Rhode Island percent?
If Rhode Island was embedded in an address, yes. And it would probably work if it was just Rhode Island. I don't think it forces there to be other characters. No, it does. I don't think it forces there to be other characters. But for something like Rhode Island, I mean, I don't think I'd use the percent because state codes are two characters. So if I put the, I'm not honestly sure because I've never thought to try it, but if I put a percent on either side and it's only a two character field, how's it going to react? I'm not sure. We can try it.
That's why you...
But what just happened here? It decided to do that lovely thing that it periodically decides to do. There was another part of your question, I thought. Was there? Okay, good. Because I'd completely lost it if there was. And this one has the all. Okay, so greater than any means any one of them in the group, and all means greater than all of them in the group. So I said here, and this one kind of embeds, so I said let's first get me the minimum year goal, and then select asterisks from Donna where year goal is greater than all the things that came in. Okay. And so it goes in and says, select minimum year goal from donor group by state. So I've got an answer for states. And now I'm saying, select the year goal, and it's greater than all the state ones that came back. And the state ones that came back were 50 and 400. And so I only saw things that were greater than the 400. Because I have to be greater than all of them. Yeah.
What is it greater than? Like, is that number, or...
Say that again?
When
the year goal is greater than all of the minimum year goals that came back, grouped by state. Most of this you probably won't use. Because you'll be asking much more straightforward things in most cases, but you actually should have a clue as to how you can spend long time figuring out SQL. This is the brief version of SQL. In the Oracle class, we spend a lot longer on SQL and look at, this is the brief view of SQL. I don't know whether that's better or worse, but it's what it is. And then the last one is functions. Okay, and these are just some functions that you can use. Select lower name gets me the lowercase of all of the names. Now, this does not change the data. The only thing that can change data is the update. This is not changing data. This is changing it for the purpose of this query. So for some reason, I decided I wanted to see the lowercase version of all of the names. I can also say I would like to see the maximum name. And periodically, I stuck in a tutorial there that actually points a lot of these things out. I've got the select in string. Okay, so I'm looking for ever in whatever, and it tells me that ever starts at 5. So in this particular case, I wasn't using data on the database at all. I was just saying, tell me where ever is within whatever. Would I ever actually write that? No. But it shows you how in-string works. Usually you are going to be looking at a field, and you're looking for something in a field. But in this case, I didn't use a field name. I used a literal, so it knows I'm looking within the literal. And ever starts at position 5. So that's what it's telling me, is the ever starts at position 5. Okay. And this one says, go into city and find EE. And so it tells me where it is within city. So CConc is going to be the first one where it's at 2, The zeros don't have an EE. Braintree is going to be the eighth one. Because it starts out at, I'm assuming, eight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, it does. Okay. And that one, I actually showed you what city it was. You can say, I would like to take the leftmost characters. So left of city, take four characters. It gives you the leftmost four characters. And right gives you the rightmost four characters. So when you're doing manipulation, you have a whole lot of these functions that come with SQL in anticipation that this is the kind of manipulation people want to do, and so they came up with the functions to do that. Okay? I actually remember programming when there weren't many of these, and you had to write the code to do it. And it's a lot nicer now that they've provided the functions to do this stuff than having to write the code to find out these information. But I remember setting up arrays of one-character arrays and then going in and looking through a one-character array of a field to find where the character was because they didn't provide this. Okay? And if anything dates me, that's it. Because luckily they came along with these, which make life a lot easier. I can find out the length of something, so I'm asking for the length of city, and it returns how many characters are in city, and notice it counts embedded spaces. Left pad. Okay. In that one, I said left pad up to four. Well, it was already four characters, so it didn't do anything. Left pad city up to 20 gets me everything turned into 20 characters, which gets me a bunch of asterisks. Yeah.
What would be the point of that?
The biggest point for the padding is when you write check. You ever seen the checks with all the asterisks in front of them so you can't add a few thousand dollars in? That would be the biggest example of how to use that. But if you had something else you didn't want people to mess with, that's basically padding with asterisks keeps them from messing with data. Okay, so that's the main reason for doing it.
Why do we have two asterisks?
Just because I wanted to.
It would do the same thing?
With just one, yeah.
So it uses the asterisks as the pad character.
That's right. And I'm using double asterisks as the pad. And in fact, I did it with one right down below. So there it is with one. And you can see the results are exactly the same.
Can you center?
Can I center what?
C-com.
Yes. Not remembering how, though. But yeah, I'm sure you can. Left grab the center characters. I think it's mid. Can you center it as in printed centering?
No.
Can you find the center stuff, it's mid, I think. There's left, there's right, and I think it's mid that lets you go in and say how many characters you want to go in and then how many characters you want to take. So left, and I just can't remember whether it's mid or some other word. But when I went in with right, I only give right four characters. If I'm going in with mid, which I think is what it is, then the comma says where to start, and then there's another comma that tells how many characters to take.
I guess what I meant was the asterisk. You put them in the beginning.
Yeah, but then I think you would have to probably left pad. Is there a mid pad? I'm not sure there would be a mid pad. You're getting almost as bad as Max. Mid-pad. I'm trying to think of how a mid-pad would work. I mean, so you basically want to stick asterisks into the middle. There's probably a convoluted way I could do that if I actually sat down and tried to beat it to death, but I suspect I would need more than one function to do it.
There's no mid-pad.
There's no mid?
There's left and right pad.
Okay. How about mid? Is mid there as left and right? I think mid is the one that would let me go in and grab things out of the middle. Yeah. You can always use substring to grab things out of the middle, too.
Yeah, that's coming up.
You can trim stuff off. There's mid. Okay, so I should have just read further. Mid city 2, 3 says go into city, go to the second character and grab 3. So it was mid. Believe it or not, I looked at these the other day. That finds the position of EE in city, so it's another. It's an alternative to in the string. As is locate. And it always baffles me as to why I want 3 things that can do the same thing. I can use in the string, I can use position, and I can use locate. Okay? Stop confusing me. Just give me 1. But anyway. I can say repeat state 5 times. Whatever. Okay. I can tell it to replace, and it is replacing the small e's with big e's if there are 2 of them together. Okay. So I can replace. Replace is good when you are doing something like you've got ID numbers for products and you were using a particular code to indicate a particular department and you decided you'd like to change that code. You can actually use the replace in an update and actually go in and, okay, I no longer want this code to be X2. I want it to be Z5. And I can go in and do a replace inside my ID numbers for products and replace it, presuming that the ID is made up of a variety of meaningful things as opposed to just a random number. If it had a department embedded in it, I can go in and change the department code if the department code has changed. So, and then I would do it with an update. Right now, the replace is just to show you. But I would do it with an update if I wanted it to be permanent. But replace is a handy thing, and it's a handy thing from just that point of view. Reverse. If anybody knows why I'd want to reverse, feel free to tell me, but I can't think of any reason I'd want to reverse. But anyway. Substring goes in, and substring, if as we've talked about before, says start for 3. If I don't have another comma and something after it, it takes everything else. It just takes till the end. If I only want to go to a certain point, I say 3, 4, and then it takes just 4 characters. So substring, depending on how you write it, will go to the end, or you can say only take X number of characters. So here I'm saying start at 3 and go to the end. Here I'm saying start at 3 and take 4. Okay. And that is that. Okay. What I have you doing is maintenance and databases. There's one person in this class that has seen this before. But this is just the layout. Okay? What I've got here is, and I really suggest you read this through because it's a fairly good summary of what we've talked about. I have a payroll kind of thing. So the first thing I've got is an employee table that's got all the information about the employee. Then I've got a department number that's a foreign key that links over to this department to allow me to get the department name. Okay, so that's one connection that I have. And then I have a project. And I want to know what employees worked on what projects for how many hours. So I don't have, I'm not showing the department table here, I'm showing the project stuff. Here's my project table. And project number is my primary key, and I have the project name, and I have the project manager. And now a employee can work on a project many times. Okay, so an employee, obviously, you wouldn't have an employee just work on a project once, usually, unless they had one particular expertise that you needed for one day. Usually the employees, you know, if you fill out time cards in lots of companies, you have to designate what project you work on, especially if they're billing somebody. So, okay, in my 8-hour day, I spent 2 hours on this project. I spent 3 hours on this project. I spent 3 hours on another project. I wasted an hour doing whatever. Okay, so in
No charge number
for waste. Okay, so the project number is basically for billing purposes, to know what billing they did. So I'm going to say this employee worked on this project in this date, on that date. And this is how many hours they put in on that date. Okay? So I have the employee number and the project number as part of the key, but I need something else, and I'm picking date because one employee working on a project, I could only have the employee work on the project once if I didn't have another part of the key. So those three things are going to be the primary key. And I think I put that in down below.
Yeah, that's all you need. Just tell them not to go home until it's done.
Okay, right. And I don't care whether they're effective or not. They can just keep going in their sleep.
Must have talked to my last boss.
Okay. So down here I laid them out, and you can see I did specify those with a primary key. So what I want you to do is go into MySQL, create these four tables, and populate them with data.
How much? Need a number.
You're not getting one.
12 employees, 5 departments.
Down, Monica. How about we do 3 on each?
You're not going to do it anyway, so why are you asking? I doubt it. Huh? He doesn't even do that. Max is just here to entertain us. He's actually... All right.
I'm here for my education.
He's always
in the traditional sense.
So anyway, you don't get to ask questions like that about homework until I actually see a piece of homework from you. All right. So, create the tables. It's always good to have somebody to pick on, and you're so great. you're just ample ammunition. Okay. Create the tables in the payroll database provided in that handout we just looked at. Be sure to set up the primary keys. Okay, so you have to go in and specify the primary keys. And one of the handouts goes in and shows you how you can do that. So you got to specify the primary keys. Look at the queries below before you put in the data so you... Oh, well, I never finished that sentence. But anyway, it's kind of implied, so you can do them, okay?
Oh, that was pretty good. Okay, so anyway, so you can do them. All right. Use a select query the database and show, and I'm taking fields from two tables. And then I took two tables and said, worked on the project, hours worked are greater than 100. So that's what I mean by when you go in and put in the data, think about it. Then I want you to develop a query. I ran out of originality. I'm using three tables, using four tables. So again, think about that when you're putting the data in. And then I want you to do an update, and I want you to drop one of the records. Okay, you've got to add records, obviously, when you populate. So you're doing maintenance there, and you're querying with multiple tables. Okay? So that's what I want you to do. And since we have 8 minutes to go, or something like that, 10 minutes to go, I'm not starting a new topic. So you can get going on this and start and ask questions. And that sort of thing.
Can you go over a little more about any and all things?
Any is greater than any of them. So if I've got the numbers 3, 7, 9, okay, 5 is greater than 3, so it meets the any criteria. If I have 3, 7, 9, 5 is greater than 3, so it meets the criteria. 8 is greater than 3 and 7, so it meets the criteria. It's greater than any of them. All, until you get to 10, you haven't got something that's greater than all of them. Because 3, 7, 9, if I get to 10, 10 is greater than all of them. Okay? So any is greater than anyone in the list. And all is greater than all in the list.
Now's the time that grammar comes in. Good grammar.
I don't know. Geeks and good grammar are not always compatible.
Well, it follows the rules, any and all.
Yeah, no, it does.
Okay, they made a lot of changes.
Who's they?
Jim. I'm looking for the tables that existed before that don't exist anymore.
Luckily, most people are not taking Oracle, but I have incompletes, and they're not supposed to be doing that. Okay. If you tell me what they're doing that is lost, I can get back to them and tell them that they gotta fix it, make it better. In yours?
Oh, it's right. It's in Scott and Tiger. They didn't tell.
Okay.
Okay. I thought I had one in mind, but I might have created it in Scott.
Okay, so.